good. He's good. And he has a plan that we're all a part of his plan. And just like what we're going to celebrate and talk about today, Jesus' birth, it was a part of his plan. And he had it all planned out way before the creation of the world, that he was going to give his son. And we'd be singing and worshiping him this morning, 2,000 years later after his birth. You know, there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. It's like Jesus fulfilled every prophecy perfectly. And a few years ago, mathematicians at MIT, or one of the big mathematical genius schools that we have in the nation, they got together and they got with the professor and said, what's the mathematical probability of this happening? And it was like 1 to the 10 billionth times something impossible. It's literally, he said, listen, it's even impossible for the 8 prophecies that are clearly describing Jesus' birth, that one person could fulfill those prophecies is impossible. Mathematically impossible. And it all happened that day 2,000 years ago that we've been celebrating, that we celebrated yesterday around the world. That's, we serve a God of impossibilities. There's nothing too dark. There's nothing he can't penetrate. There's no problem that we have or the world has or in the world itself. There's no chaos that God can't bring peace to. And this morning, I want to talk about that. The prophet Micah in the Old Testament actually was the one who prophesied not when. He didn't know when the Messiah was going to come, but he knew where the Messiah was going to come. And Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, and it was during a time when they were about to go in captivity to the Babylonians. And literally, they were going to be taken from their nation and taken as slaves into Babylon. And it was going to be a horrible, dark time in the history of Israel. All the prophets were talking about it coming. And it was like all the prophets of that time, the major and the minor prophets, when they talked about like an impending doom that was always going to come because of their people's separation from God. But there was always a spark of light somewhere. They always talked about a light that was going to come into the world. And Micah was no different. You know, he, 700 years before Christ, he was the man who stood up and said, there is a Messiah, there's a king coming. And we're going to read it this morning, Micah chapter 5, starting at verse 2, I think. And we're going to read that prophecy. And he didn't know when, but he knew that the prophet said the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, was going to be born in Bethlehem. And I think that it's very significant for us today. You know, last week we talked about it on Christmas Eve service, we talked about the truth that Jesus is looking for people who would be like Mary, who would say to the Lord, yes, be it unto me. God, it's all you. You get all the credit. You get all the glory. You get all the praise. And you do something in me that will create light in this world. You see, we live in a dark world, don't we? It's like there's darkness all around us. There's chaos. There's needs. There are broken people, broken hearts. There are broken societies that are just as needing the light as much as the whole world was back when Jesus came. It was 2,000 years ago, but 700 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Micah said, he's going to be born. You see, that promise God's given you, the light, the world needs the light that you carry inside of your heart. The world needs the impact that we bring. Now, it'll be different than Mary's. There's only one Mary, there's only one Savior. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Every time, God, you open your heart and you accept the love of God in your life and you say, be it unto me, you're saying, God, it's your power in me that's going to bring light into the broken world. Listen, there are broken places in every one of our lives. You know? There's places in my life where I need the light, where there's darkness still. There's places in my neighborhood, in my family, in my world. There are needs all around us, just like in Micah's day. Micah had to stand up and prophesy, guys, listen, I hate to tell you this, it's going to get bad. We're going to go into captivity. You know, it had been 300 years since King David had ruled in Israel. And when King David was king, everything was great. The whole world was just at their feet. King David had a heart after God. But it had been 300 years since then when Micah prophesied. And Micah and all the prophets had seen Israel begin to go their own way again. And they weren't following. David was following the Lord. The nation was following the Lord then, and God was pouring out His blessings and bringing life to the entire world. Pagan kings were coming and saying, "What is this in Israel? This is surely the hand of God." Guys, 300 years, and they had gone into a deep darkness. And a man stood up and said, "But there's one coming, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem." And I think everything about that is significant. You know, the light of the world did come. And we cannot celebrate that enough. I'm telling you, I think we could. It would honor, it wouldn't be a dishonor to us. It would be an honor to Him if we just praised Him 52 weeks in a row for the gift that God gave to the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We can't praise Him enough for that. But I want to tell you something. The light of the world did come. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And now the world, still in darkness, is waiting for a light to come out of you and out of me. And every time we open our hearts and we're like Mary, we say, "Be it unto me, God." It's you in me. And you know how you know where God's sending you? You can tell. What do you have compassion for? What do you care about? What broken thing is in your life personally or in your family, in your neighborhood, in your nation? You know, God isn't looking for complainers. He's looking for believers. Man, He loves us. He loves us. He loves humans, humanity, so much that He sent His Son to the world. His Son came into the world. And I want to talk about that prophecy that Micah gave. Listen, he was our peace. That seed God planted in Mary that day when He was born in the darkest of dark places in the history of humanity, I believe, and underneath the boot of the Roman Empire with a stranglehold on all the whole world, the whole known world, there was a light, a little tiny light that was born in a manger that day. And you see, God wants to do the same thing in us. He's looking for someone, just someone, like Mary. Someone that's the least in their family. Someone who's the least in society. Someone who's in a broken, dark place who'll say, "God, I believe. What do you put in my heart?" And you know what God does with us? He'll put it in your heart. You know how you can tell what He's putting in your heart? You could do this. What's something you complain about? I mean, not 100%. But if you complain about something, maybe God's putting that in your heart to bring light into that darkness. What's something you are concerned about? What's something that makes you cry? Well, something that makes you lose sleep and won't turn off ever. Maybe you're the one that He wants to put a seed in you. And He's just looking. You know how special you have to be? Matter of fact, the more lowly you are, the greater His ability to put a seed in your heart. He said, you know, the people who are okay, the people that are well, that are rich, that are fine, they don't need a doctor. The sick need a doctor. And He was referring to Himself and us. If you think you've got it all together, good, go. Jesus isn't going to plant something in your heart. He plants a heart in the needy. And we're going to look at that. So we need to know this. The light of the world has come. And the light of the world is still coming. The same light that was in Jesus now resides inside of us. And the world is waiting. The Bible says that the entire world is crying out, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. And so today I want to talk about this passage, and I want to look at it. This is a great passage out of Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is where we'll start. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old. You see, it began, Bethlehem became important when guess where King David, the man after God's own heart, was born? Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. And it had only been 300 years. And they were, you know, the Israelites, they're always looking. They're looking. And this prophet stands up and says, hey, guys, out of you, there's a ruler going to come. And they said, oh, we've had one ruler, and he was king. He was the best king ever. And Micah's saying, yeah. It just built up their hope. His origins are from old. 300 years ago, old. And then he goes on, he says this, his origins are also from ancient times, which means before time began. You see, the seed that you and I need put inside of us is not just from history, it's not just from the world, it's not just from power or royalty or authority. I need a supernatural seed inside of me from the ancient times. And they understood that this meant the Alpha and the Omega. The one who is the I am. And so, guys, whenever God's wanting to plant something in us, it's the same seed that God was planting here. And Micah says this, therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. And the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. And he'll stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. The darkness in the world today it can only be impacted by the strength of the Lord. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was, is, and is to come, he is the one that can change the light, bring the light into the darkness in our world today. Shoot, there are strongholds in your life that nothing but Jesus can break through. Amen. That was a joke, but it's not. I can't do it without him. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I've been in love with Jesus for 42 years. And it has never, ever let me down. Ever. See, I'm from of old. And then you take Marceline back there. How many years have you loved Jesus, Marceline? Now, she's from ancient days. Has he ever let you down? Never. Harvey, has he ever done you? You're not ancient, but you're in between, right? He's never let you down. What you told us about giving, has that ever not worked for you? Never. And man, he's older. He's been with Jesus more than most of us have been alive. Guys, I want to tell you, he's good. And you need, just like they needed, the God. We need God in our world today. And God comes through his children that'll stand back and say, be it unto me, God. But then, you know what? He doesn't come as a violent, demanding, selfish, self-seeking king like the kings of the world. You see, that's what they were used to. That's what they thought the Messiah would be like. You see, the Messiah is a contradiction. He's the lion and the lamb. He came to serve, not to be served. He rules and reigns in love and sacrifice and giving. That's how he changes the world. There's an inner strength inside of him that didn't need an army to push it down your throat. He's not threatening us and making us do things. He is love. And there's a difference. And when he comes, he'll be a shepherd. The lowest job in Jewish society were the shepherds. And Jesus said, I'll be a shepherd. And I care about my flock. I love the world so much. I love humanity, every human in the world so much, and I'm willing to die for them. You see, that's how he came. And they'll live securely, and then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. You know what? There's 0% chance of that not happening. You see, his greatness is just not going to be in this spot and this spot and that spot. His greatness is going to spread out through the entire earth. And then I love verse 5. And he'll be our peace. Not anxiety. Not chaos. Not threats. No fear. He'll be our peace. You see, because he rules in a different way. And it's interesting, you go back to verse 2, and you really, let's start there, because I think this is what I'm trying to say. When I look at the gospel, I see the gospel in these two words. It says in verse 2, Micah said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," that's where Jesus was going to be born. You see, for somehow we only focus on Bethlehem. But when you look in the scripture, it calls it Bethlehem Ephrathah. You see, you can't separate those two. I've never been to Israel, but people I know that have been there, that you go to a city which is still there, Bethlehem Ephrathah. It's not just Bethlehem. You see, and I think even the name of that town and the history of those towns where he said Jesus would be born is significant, and it has a lot of application for us today. Well, you know what Bethlehem stands for? It literally means the house of bread, right? Who's the bread of life? Who said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood"? Who said when we break the bread and take communion, whose body is the bread? It's Jesus. And what does bread do? He is our source of life. He's the world's source of life. And the world is waiting for us to bring him to them, because that's what his children do. And so it's Bethlehem. It's a place we celebrate. What's up with that next word, Ephrathah? That literally means ash heap. The ash heap, the house of bread, and ash heap. Now, you know what the Israelites would do when something horrible happened to them? They would put ashes on their head. They would throw ashes up in the air. An ash heap stood for destruction, loss, brokenness. An ash heap was what they did. And the reason they named this place Bethlehem Ephrathah is because Jacob's wife, Rachel, the one he loved, she died in Bethlehem giving birth to her last child. It was a place of great sorrow. You see, that's what ash heaps are. They're you know that song, that Christmas song, "The hopes and fears of all the years." You see, it's like Bethlehem is the place of hope. That's where life was going to be born, the Son of God. But it's also the place of despair. You see, this day we celebrate, we just celebrate the Bethlehem part, and we sort of skip over the ash heap. You think about what happened that day, and when I look at it, It was a place where King David was born. It's also the place where Rachel died. So, you see what happened. It's a place in our lives where pleasure and pain intersect, where hope and disappointment intersect. I mean, it was so wonderful, Jesus being born there. But you know, the truth is, Mary suffered greatly. You see, what was it? Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth, a little place called Nazareth. That's where they lived. That's where Mary endured her pregnancy. 9 months, she's in Nazareth, suffering in the place where she'd grown up because of what she had done. And then God used, because what did the Bible say? The scripture said the Savior had to be born in Bethlehem. But Mary's in Nazareth. It's 100 miles on a dirt trail, rocky, rough dirt trail from Nazareth to Bethlehem. How many of you ladies would like to be 9 months pregnant and have to walk 100 miles? But it had to happen. You see, so you have this great victory about to happen in that, you know, that sanitary villa in the country that we call the manger. It was an animal's den where a little hung out cave where they put animals. It stunk. It was dirty, dusty. It was foul. You see, Mary had to get there. And so you know what God did? He took the most powerful man on the face of the earth, Caesar Augustus, and had him make a rule that every family had to go to their ancestral home to register. And he took a census of the entire Roman Empire, of which Israel, Judah, was in captivity to. So they didn't have any choice. Joseph, Mary, you know, we show them riding a donkey. I don't think they had enough money to do that personally, but somehow, anyway, 100 miles, probably at least a week. I don't know how many of you can walk 20 miles in a day. It's tough. 9 months pregnant, it's 1,000 times worse than tough. And they walked there. They got there. Because God made a king, the emperor of Rome, demand it. So they made it. So the place that we celebrate on Christmas morning with this great enthusiasm, and we should, is also encountered with pain. You see, when you get that seed planted in you, that's just the beginning of your fight. You know what the fight is for? It's for your faith. Can you hang on to your faith when you hear bad news? What do you mean I've got to go to Bethlehem? It's 100 miles. I can't even walk 100. I'm not. Can you still hold on to your faith? Can you hold on to your faith when your body hurts? When your legs give out? When medically the doctors say you shouldn't be doing that? When you start bleeding? Can you still believe that what's in you is the light of the world when it's hard? You see, this message is one we need to hear today. Are you willing to sacrifice everything for your baby to be born? Mary was. What amazing, amazing young woman. Teenage girl. You know, it's interesting. That's not where the pain ended, right? Because you know what happened in the story. They get there. And, you know, they were greeted by all the royalty, right? They were greeted by the kings and the officials and the people from that. No, there was no room for them in the inn. They weren't greeted by anybody. They found just a pit to be alone to have a baby. I mean, just hours before she delivered, right? And God, you know, He sent His angels to the most amazing leaders in all the world, in all of Israel. And He sent His angels to the shepherds who stunk worse than the sheep. And the shepherds were the only ones there rejoicing and celebrating that night under the star. The wise men didn't get there yet. See, it doesn't look good. Oh God, I'm so glad I'm having your king. Some of you can't imagine you making a difference in the world today because you look at yourself and you look at the facts of your life and what's surrounding you and you judge yourself and you think that what God's put inside of you could never be the light of the world. Mary believed. Guys, the world needs us to believe. Even when you don't see any evidence. And not only when you don't see any evidence, what about if everything else gets worse after that? So God, those wise men, they were reading Micah, as a matter of fact. Those wise men from the east, we three kings of Orient are. Those guys, actually, when I studied it, they think there were probably more than 100. Their entourage was huge because kings didn't go out without a huge entourage. So when they went in, where would they go? Where do you go looking for a king? You go to Jerusalem. You go to the seat of power, the seat of money, the seat of government. You go there when you're looking for a king. They go to Jerusalem, and of course to King Herod, because that king will come out of his family. No. No. God's looking for the small things. You know, like us. Like you. Those wise men, they went to the wrong place. They almost messed everything up, guys. They went there, and they didn't know King Herod was wanting to kill this future prophesied child who was going to become the king and take his family out. So they go there all happy, and they're talking to King Herod, and King Herod's making notes. They gave him the intel he needed to destroy what God's purpose and plan was. But I want to tell you, nothing in this world, either Caesar, Rome, or Israel, Jewish or government, nothing can stop the purpose of God when he plants his seed inside of you. Amen. Your battle isn't with the world. Your battle's with you. Can you believe? Because faith is the catalyst that releases the tsunami that's going to wipe out the darkness in our world. Faith. Not intelligence, not power, not money, not anything we say is big. Faith. And one day we're going to stand up and say, God, I trusted you. And the world may laugh at us. Let them laugh. I'm going to keep singing Christmas carols. I'm still going to say he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and to him be all of the glory. It's on Christ, the solid rock, that I stand. All other ground sinking sand. That may seem foolish to the world. It may seem foolish to science, to everything in the world. I don't care. I'm going to stand on him. That's what Mary did, right? So they go to Ephrathah. He'll be our peace. God's looking for people today that'll join that battle. That'll say, be it unto me, God. And well, by faith, when I say, be it unto me, I'm saying, God, your power in me changes the world. I believe what you put in my heart. God, you've given me a passion for, who are those biker games? Hell's Angels. You give me a passion for Hell's Angels. I've never even met one. I don't even have compassion for them. But if he's put that seed in me, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe him. Because it's supernatural, not natural. But I've got to act on the seed. You see, Mary and Joseph acted on what they did. They believed. And they put their feet on the ground. And they started walking a very hard path. And it wasn't all roses and butterflies and rainbows and those fairy things with antlers in the middle of their head. What are those called? Unicorns, yes! It's not all unicorns and butterflies. It was a tough road. You've got a tough road ahead of you. You do. Bethlehem, he's your source of life. Ephrathah, that's the ash heap. And you know what our ash heaps are? They're our dreams and our hopes that don't happen. They're the hard things, the opposition we face. Those become ash heaps. But I want to tell you something, that there's something Mary did, and to me it was a big deal. Okay. I got to calm down. Mary sang a song in Luke 1, right? We started that song Christmas Eve night. I read the first two verses. Mary sang this song before the baby was ever born. Before the baby was born, she said, my soul is ecstatic, overflowing with praises to God. You see, that's how you take your first step. You don't wait until it's happened to get excited and praise him. Yeah, but you look like an idiot. It's called faith. It's called faith. Why do you give? Why would Harvey talk about giving? Because he and Catherine and their family have given for... I don't even know, a long time, 60 plus years. And you know what? God has been faithful for him the whole time. Now, does that mean he never struggled, he never hurt, there wasn't rocks in that path? No, you guys will never know. You'll never know the pain. You know what happened when those crazy, now listen, they served a purpose, those wise men, because they brought resources that Mary and Joseph were going to need to live in Egypt whenever God sent them there to protect baby Jesus. So they brought them resources. But you know what it cost? It cost something dear. They killed all the boys 2 years old and younger in that entire region around Bethlehem. King Herod didn't want to miss any. They came into people's homes and they took their babies, they took their children, and they killed them right in front of their eyes. And the Bible says that a great wailing rose up in Israel. We can't even imagine. If you didn't lose your kid, you'd be wailing for your friend or your brother, your sisters. It's a sadness that the world had, I don't know. So you see, in this birth we celebrate, this Bethlehem, the bread of life coming to the world, there was also a very, very painful reality happening at the same time. And you know what? We have to keep our eyes on the promiser and not on. And I think sometimes, guys, we get, when you read Mary's song, I want you to notice something. I want to finish with this song. Before anything happened, she said, "My soul is ecstatic. I'm overflowing with praises to God." Before anything had happened. And she said, "My spirit burst with joy over my life-giving God." She was the first one. That's the word Savior. She was the first one to say, "This baby inside of me is my Savior." Guys, the world needs a Savior today. You and I need a Savior today. "For he sets his tender gaze upon me, his lowly servant girl." You know what God needs? He needs lowly servants that aren't full of themselves, that don't think they can figure everything out, that are willing to live by faith and say, "Be it unto me." And then willing to suffer and walk it out no matter what it cost us. Because I'm going to tell you who wins this battle. He wins. He wins. I was so glad. I didn't want to make fun of Marceline and Harvey, but I'm so glad that they're here this morning. They've walked with him a long time, and they'll tell you the truth. It's worth it. Amen. Has it been all roses and butterflies? No. Has there been any pain in your life? Yes. But Jesus is greater than anything I've ever faced. "And from here on, everyone will know that I've been favored and blessed. The Mighty One has worked a mighty miracle for me. Holy is His name." You know, I want you to notice something about Mary's song. Mary's song is focused on Jesus. It's focused on God. Her song isn't focused on the death that happened around her. It's not focused on her poverty. It's not focused on a Roman emperor who is crushing them under his feet. Her focus is always on God, and it's always praising Him. That's how we live. And when you do that, He becomes your source of life instead of the stuff around you. You know what happens to all this stuff? It all burns. And you know what happens when something burns? It becomes ashes. So, bread of life and ashes are always right beside each other. And we've been taught that what burns is important. And we forgot that it's all about Him. You see, the truth is, it's all about Him. She said, "Mercy kisses all His godly lovers." That's hard for us to get. He just wants your love. Because when you love Him, He plants seed inside of you. And it changes the world. "Powerful princes He tears from their thrones. He lifts up the lowly to take their place." He's looking for the lowly. We're the ones that come to Him and say, "Be unto me, God." We don't demand our own way. We don't think we're smarter than Him. We don't even think we know what's best for us. We trust Him. He knows what's best for us. You see, I think hope deferred. The Scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's because we put our hope in the stuff, and Mary put her hope in her God. Wouldn't a good God let me have my baby in a palace instead of in a slum? Wouldn't a good God not have let all those two-year-olds be killed and all those babies die? Wouldn't a good God not have made me run to Egypt, leave my home, not be called names? you can list a thousand things about Mary that a good God would have never done, but she did not put her hope in those things. She put her trust in Him. So you know what? Hope deferred makes you sick. Hope in God makes you well. And that's what Mary believed. And those who hunger for Him will always be filled. Are you hungry for Him? Are you hungry for His stuff? You know, we just did Christmas, right, the way we do it with gifts and things. It's so easy in our world to get disappointed because you didn't get the right gift. Because the timing wasn't right, because you lost something, there's a thousand things, and all of a sudden, our hope becomes in the stuff instead of placing our hope in Him. Mary's hope was in Him, and she was hungry for Him. And she wasn't proud, and she wasn't full of herself. She wasn't self-satisfied. The proud, the self-satisfied, the people who are full of themselves mentally, emotionally, physically, those people God sends away empty. But the people He sends away full, He shows mercy. God can never forget to show mercy. He has helped His chosen servant Israel. He keeps His promises to Abraham and to the sons and daughters of Abraham forever. God can't break His promise. For all of us who choose to live by faith, He'll keep His promise to us. And it's so beautiful the way He did it in the coming of Christ. Impossible odds for that to happen and every single prophecy happened. And now Jesus has said this, guys, I'm going away. I'm going to go sit at the right hand of my Father, and I'm sending the Spirit to you. And the same Spirit that lives inside of me is living inside of you. And you're going to change the world. All God needs from us is faith. Be it unto me, God. And then we walk it out. So I just want to challenge you today. You want to change the world? Believe and take that step. Believe and take the step. And keep your hope in God, not on the stuff. The stuff will always disappoint you. It'll always let you down. Matter of fact, it's all going to burn. But your hope in God will never be disappointed. You see, I think a lot of us get mixed up. And we put our hope in God that He'll do the things. Or He'll give us the stuff. And so really our hope's not in God, it's in the stuff. God wants a relationship with you. And He's looking for a little girl, a little boy, man or woman, who'll believe and trust Him and join Him. Our hope is in our relationship with God. That's what my hope's in. Yeah, but Alan, can't you look at the facts around you? There's people dying around you every day. Yeah, I know. Mary wasn't stupid. She knew what happened in her home, in her native land. But she still hoped in God. Hope wasn't in this stuff. They become the ash heap. And one day, Jesus will, being done in heaven, is going to be done here on earth. And every tear will be wiped from our eyes. Every mountain will be laid flat. And there'll be peace in this world the way that there's peace in heaven. That's our hope. Jesus came, and He's coming again. And His Spirit is coming through us. So guys, let's be light this year. Let's let Jesus be born in us, in our dark places, in our things in this world that God sent us to. Bethlehem is still living today. Bread and ashes, they're side by side. And you know where the darkness, you know where the light wants to go to? Darkness. God's just looking for us to take it there. That's what we were created for. So it's all God. And you can depend upon Him forever. So let's celebrate His birth. But don't just focus on His birth 2,000 years ago. he's still being born again. Men and women will never enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Guys, every time you give yourself to him, something's being born. Let it go. Let it be. Amen. I'm excited about Christmas. I love those songs. I think we'll do them again next week. I'm kidding. Next week, we're going to talk about communion. If you haven't taken communion yet, it's still set up. You can come and take it during ministry time. You can take it afterwards. You can take it during worship. Anytime during the service, you can take communion. Next week, Sunday, Tim's going to be speaking about some depths that happen, reality of communion. And y'all be praying for him, because that's a subject, a deep, deep well that Tim's going to be walking into next week. And I appreciate the prophetic team sets that up. And they think the texture, the sight, the smell, the taste, there's something supernatural that happens when we take communion. So honor what Jesus said we're going to do until he comes back. The body of Christ will never, ever be away from that. So take the communion. The bread is his body that was broken for us. And the wine, the grape juice, is his blood that was spilled for us. It's all a big deal. Amen. So let's all stand up. God, you're good. Father, I just thank you. And God, I don't want to ignore Ephrathah or Bethlehem. Jesus, I just ask that you would raise up out of us, out of this place, people that are willing to lay it all down for you and to live a supernatural life, God. So God, those dark places that you've created us to go into, Father, this year we just say, make it new inside of us. Give us a passion, a dream, a desire to take light into the darkness. And Father, however long it takes, it doesn't matter. You didn't tell Micah when the Messiah was coming. You just told him where. So Jesus, we just want to be that. We want to be that on earth today. We want to be the light. God, we want to be a part of the city that's set on a hill. So Jesus, we just believe. I just believe you, King. So this morning, as you're taking communion, if you need a physical healing, breakthrough in your life, in your family, take it before the Lord as you're taking communion. Let him move. Trust him to be the light of the world, to be your source, to be your bread, to be your everything, okay? If you'd like someone to pray with you, we'll have a team up here to pray with you. And thank you for sharing your Christmas weekend with us. We think it's important that we gather together. So everybody who came, thank you for being a part of Grace and all that you're doing. Amen. All right, God bless you guys. We're dismissed, so have a good rest of the holidays.